Hey everyone, welcome back to the Star Family Wisdom Podcast. It's so good to be with you here today. I'm Jenna Layden. I'm the founder of Star Family Wisdom. I'm also a former Global Vice President for Whole Foods Market. And welcome to all of the new friends. We've got so many new subscribers. It's so good to connect with all of you. And thank you for sharing so many comments. It's been really cool getting to know you. And just for those who don't know, Star Family Wisdom was born of my journey to go deep on the spiritual path and follow my calling, follow my highest passion. And today we're talking about Bashar. Bashar is an ET being who channels through a man named Daryl Anka. And Daryl came to Sedona recently. So for those who don't know, I'm in Sedona, Arizona. I used to be in Austin, Texas. I was in Austin with Whole Foods Market for many years. And as this new journey progressed, I was guided by beings I know and trust to leave Austin and follow my heart to Sedona. So I did. And it's just been this really incredible journey of opening to that guidance, allowing myself to uncover new aspects of myself, the ET aspects of myself that are out there in creation, and to understand more, about our reality. So that's the journey I've been on. And today, I thought about this event that just happened and this just beautiful, incredible channeling from Bashar. And Bashar talked about Sedona. Bashar talked about the vortex of Sedona and how the vortex operates. And I've experienced that. So I wanted to talk about that today. And for those who aren't as familiar with my history, or maybe you are catching up on some of the old podcast episodes, I thought I would very quickly share a story about my earliest connection with Bashar, which is kind of a fun one. And it's ultimately what got me really going on this path. So this was in Austin, and this was after I had started having some profound supernatural experiences. But I was really closed off to the supernatural, to spirituality for a long time because I was so focused on my career at Whole Foods. And as these supernatural experiences started to happen, it made me question everything. But I also had a lot of fear programming that I had to move through and I had to clear to even be open to what's possible. So I was in that in Austin. I was unpacking these extraordinary experiences I was having. In some cases, these telepathic messages I was starting to get, but I didn't know where they were coming from. And I had started to see the past and see the future and all sorts of stuff. And so I'm unpacking this, I'm studying consciousness and how is all of this possible? How can I learn more about this? How can I take this further, and gain some conscious control over what's happening? And as I think all find ourselves at some point, on this spiritual path, I started looking into the ET phenomena. And I started focusing on UFOs. That's like the easy entry point for all of us, right? And I had also found some books on past life regressions and had been very fascinated by that because I had had spontaneous past life recall. So I was looking into that and researching that. And so I'm, fascinated by this idea of past life recall and healing through accessing past lives and integrating those. And one thing, leads to the next. And I find this book by John Mack, a Harvard professor of psychiatry or psychology, I can't remember exactly which. And he, in his time, in his tenure at Harvard, in his psychology days, towards the end, he started working with experiencers, people who had these UFO or ET encounters, or maybe they had some aspect of trauma bubbling up, but they didn't know where it was coming from. So he started working with these people, and this was one of the first times, as I'm reading his book, these case studies of past life, or not past life regressions, but ET contact regressions. I'm reading this book, and I have this just extraordinary emotional release. Like, it touched a part of me that had suppressed memories. And I knew what was happening at the time. Like, I knew enough about the science of the mind and how memories get suppressed, you know, through trauma, or if we just like can't psychologically integrate them in a healthy way. I was startled. I was like, oh my God, oh boy, oh no. Like, do I have a story of ET contact? Like, have I been abducted? What is going on here? So I was in this process of like contemplating that, realizing I was having these emotional connections to the topics of ETs, but I also had a lot of underlying fear programming, and I was nervous. Like, I was really nervous to go farther in exploring what this was. And so I'm in this place of thinking, I need a regression. I need a regression. There's something in here. There's something suppressed. There's some memory that is like trying to come forward. And I think I need a regression, but I was nervous and I didn't want to do it. So one night after work, I'm, you know, continuing on my research and finding different, you know, documentaries and things that might be helpful in me connecting the dots on all of this. And I find Daryl Anka's documentary, First Contact. So First Contact is about Daryl Anka's first contact. It's about his UFO encounter that happened, I think, back in the 70s with other parties, like corroborated by his brothers and sisters. And after this UFO encounter, he goes on to start channeling this being named Bashar, who is apparently an aspect of him from the future, from this hybrid ET human race that has been developed. So he goes on to have this just, you know, incredible career channeling, and this documentary documents a lot of that. But back then, because I was still in this fear programming, I had a lot to unpack, and psychologically that's a lot, you know, for a person. And so I was skeptical, and I think it's healthy for us to also question, you know, some of the information that comes out of humans, right? We're human. We are filtering information through a human brain. And if a human still has a lot of ego distortion, blocks, negative programming, they're not going to be a clear channel. So, you know, it is good for us to be discerning when it comes to channeling. And I was in this very skeptical place. And so I'm watching this documentary, and about halfway through, I get skeptical, and I'm like, you know what? I'm really busy. Like, I've got this, you know, big job at Whole Foods. I'm, you know, researching all this stuff. I'm just going to turn this off. I don't have time for this. So I turn it off. Well, I had ordered food that night for delivery for dinner, and within seconds of turning off this documentary, I get a pop-up on my phone that says, "Your food has been delivered by Bashar." And I'm just like, excuse me, what is happening here? And I had had enough experiences of extraordinary synchronicities as well by this point to recognize this is like an extraordinary synchronicity. Like, are you contacting me, Bashar? And so, you know, there's also the like analytical, logical part of me that also wanted to know, like, what are the odds of this happening? You know, like, what are the statistical odds? So I also looked up how many people in the United States would be named Bashar, and it's like a really low number, like maybe 150 or 200 people. So the statistical odds of something like that happening are just, you know, completely out there. And so I have this moment of realizing, oh my goodness, I'm getting like nudged along by Bashar. I think I'm supposed to finish the documentary. And so I do. So I finish the documentary, which then explains a lot more. And there's actually like some really cool scientific evidence for this channeling, you know, in the later part of the documentary. And so I have this moment of, feeling some levity about the situation, realizing that, you know, if I had been having ET contact, whatever it is, it's helpful. Like, it's not malevolent, you know, like I am experiencing benevolent contact if this is what's happening. So it kind of brought me into this place of laughing at myself a little bit, laughing at life, recognizing that these sorts of synchronicities can happen, opening my heart to this idea of contact. And then that's what got me to take the steps on my first regression and really start to uncover, you know, more about who I am and what's going on in my life. So that was just this like really fun experience. And then what's really interesting is that I got guided to Sedona. So after that, you know, I went through my regression, continued to have tons of experiences, started, you know, receiving more direct guidance from ET beings that are connected with my soul. And I left Whole Foods. I decided it was time for me to move on. I knew that I was embarking on this next phase of my journey, and I was leaving my team in good hands. Like, it was just a good natural window for me to make this change. And so I did. And then I was like being guided to leave everything in Austin and come to Sedona and just be open to whatever happened. You know, like, this is part of the formula Bashar talks about, is like, follow your highest excitement, follow your passions without any insistence on the outcome. And that's what I did. I was like, okay, I think my highest passion right now is getting to Sedona and allowing that to help me, you know, peel back the next layers, you know, of whatever I need to explore about myself and allow life synchronicity to guide me. And so I threw it all out the window. You know, I sold my house, I sold everything and packed my car and came to Sedona. And so I have followed the formula many times now. And it's just been a really fun, interesting process. And so Bashar this last weekend in Sedona talked about the vortex and talked about Bashar being over Bell Rock. The ship that Bashar occupies is over Bell Rock. And I'm sorry if you can hear my cat in the background. He is just like, like going crazy this morning. So this tends to happen actually when energy gets high in the vortex I've created here in the house. I've noticed, like, when I'm in a high energy process or I'm channeling or I'm bringing in high energies, I'm just getting big chills here, he starts to get like really amped up. And so like, I think we've got some high energy going on here. And in this event, you know, Bashar talks about frequency and the raising of vibration and all of that stuff. But, and it was like hilarious too, because, you know, every time we feel like we need to ask, right? Like, we need to ask for something or insight, or like asking, what is my frequency? You know, what are my, you know, cycles per second? That lowers our vibration because we're just not in a place of trust. We're not in a place of just, you know, total surrender and following the formula. And so it was so cute in the event. Multiple times, multiple people are like, okay, I know this is going to lower my vibration, but I want to know. And it's just funny. Like, humans are funny. So Bashar talks about the ship over Bell Rock. I should also say I did it too, but telepathically. I was like, okay, I want to know, like, I know it'll lower it for like a minute, but then it'll come back up. It's all good. You know, like, we can play with that. It's no big deal. And so I asked, I have no idea, like, if this is accurate, but, you know, I get impressions. I have, you know, heightened psychic abilities now. And so I guess the threshold for physical reality versus the realm of spirit is like 333 cycles per second. Most people, you know, are vibrating around 150, maybe to 180 cycles per second. So, you know, it would be it would be like a really high frequency person that is over like 200 cycles per second. So anyway, I want to measure that at some point. I'm really curious. Again, isn't that funny, right? Like we fall into that trap. Like I want to know, but why do we need to know? Okay, back to Bashar. So Bashar talks about his ship being over Bell Rock. And I didn't know this when I moved to Sedona. Like I had missed that episode, you know, like he's got tons of episodes of channeling and I've watched a lot of them, but not all of them. And so I had missed that. I had missed that this was where like his ship was stationed. I end up coming to Sedona. I end up doing a lot of really powerful healing work at Bell Rock and Cathedral Rock. And then last year, I find out about Bashar being in Sedona, which was kind of cool. I also got connected to the Bashar team at one point, just through some, you know, networking things and business things that were going on. And so it was just this really cool progression of allowing synchronicity to guide me, allowing Bashar to guide me, apparently, and you know, helping to be like an ambassador of sorts for the ET hybrid program and to be an ambassador of, you know, these beings who are in contact with us. So Bashar talks about the vortex and how it magnifies anything you bring into it. So the Sedona vortex being one of those really important, you know, electromagnetic anomalies on the planet, and this spot where we can connect more easily interdimensionally. We can access the multidimensional parts of ourselves, aspects of ourselves, when we're in these power spots, in these vortex areas. And so Bashar's talking about this idea of, you know, coming to vortex sites to connect to other aspects of yourself, to connect to higher intelligences, to have these multidimensional experiences, but to also heal and to also let go of all of the negative programming that we carry, which is one of the big things I focused on when I came to Sedona. You know, at the time when I came to Sedona, I was deeply engaged in shamanic practice and going as far as I could in various certifications related to the ancient Caro lineage of shamanism in Peru. And through this path, I gained access to a lot of tools, permission slips, as Bashar would say, a lot of tools that helped me identify those negative programs, helped me identify the wounds and the traumas I was carrying, and ultimately go through the process of releasing and rewriting those stories and raising my frequency. So I have experienced firsthand how the vortex operates. And the first year I was here, it was intense. It was intense. And you know, they say that, you know, when people have the intention of coming to Sedona long term, you know, Sedona will welcome some people, Sedona will not welcome some people. You know, some people are ready for the intensity of the vortex, some people are not ready for the intensity of the vortex. And that first year, I wondered, am I going to make it to my second year? Like, am I going to be one of those people that gets kicked out of the vortex? But I, you know, I was doing my work. I was focused on this concept of utilizing the vortex to clear what I needed to clear. And so then I got to stay a second year in Sedona. So I'm still here. And it's just this, yeah, beautiful experience of just really allowing the reflection to happen. So if you ever come to Sedona, if you you know, want some of those like heightened multidimensional experiences or want to go deep on your healing, coming to vortex spots like this are gonna help reveal what needs to be revealed so that you can heal. I also wanted to just highlight, you know, something I've noticed in, you know, some of the question and answers with Bashar. You know, one beautiful thing about connecting with Bashar is that Bashar does help highlight our limiting beliefs, right? Bashar talks about how as humans we've been masters of limitation. Like we have argued for our limitation. You know, like we have set up a system of limitation here on earth. And we are unlimited. Like we are meant to be masters of manifestation. I've talked about that a few times, that I think like we are, you know, moving from being masters of limitation to masters of manifestation, but we've got a lot of work to do, you know, to get there. And so, you know, as people are engaging Bashar, you know, clearly Bashar will push on people, right? To like help them see their limiting beliefs. And that's hard, you know, like it's hard when we're faced with, especially publicly, like an aspect of ourself that is holding us back. And you know, Bashar will just say things like, you just choose to let that go. Like you choose that that's not you anymore. You choose a different version of you. You choose your worthiness. You choose these higher beliefs, right? Yeah, that's true. And because of how wired we are for negativity and these limiting beliefs, we do need tools. We do need these permission slips to help us. And so I wanted to share that, you know, on the Star Family Wisdom site, we have a free shamanic practice course that gives you a few of those just really easy tools to use. And there's actually, you know, science behind this because of how wired the human brain is. And because of how historically we have, as humans, used ceremony and rites of passage to help us rewire the brain, we can follow that same protocol for rewiring the brain for positive beliefs. So there are a few just basic, easy techniques, some meditation exercises that help you do that releasing process, letting go of the old belief, letting go of the old idea, the old story, and then rewriting the story for the new belief. Because I've had that experience watching Bashar, you know, recognizing that, yeah, like we are that powerful. Like it is ultimately just about shifting our beliefs. But sometimes, because of how we're wired, we need a little help with that. And so I wanted to throw that out for anyone who's had that experience or anyone who maybe feels like they just need some help, you know, with the rewiring process. We've got a lot of great tools on the Star Family Wisdom site that are just about that, like helping you move from being a master of limitation to a master of manifestation. And, you know, Bashar talks about like, stop arguing for your unworthiness. Like, isn't it funny how, as humans, funny, sad, you know, like as humans, we've developed this intense belief around our unworthiness. We have been so programmed to believe we're not worthy. We have been so programmed in ways that are counter to how the universe wants to support us. And that reprogramming, rewiring process is a process. Like that's a journey in and of itself. So, you know, even though Bashar makes it sound like, you know, just go from A to B, you know, like, yeah, it's that simple, but also we're digging out of a big hole here and we need some help sometimes. So anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that and share, you know, that I've been on that journey of reprogramming, rewiring, and, you know, getting out of fear-based beliefs and out of this place of arguing for my unworthiness, right? To truly believing, like, you know, we want to have done the rewiring and the reprogramming on such a deep level that like our body just knows it. You know, our body knows it. Our subconscious just knows it. And then that ultimately, you know, creates the frequency that allows the right things that we want to come to us and manifest. You know, Bashar also talks about utilizing the vortex and spots like Bell Rock that are similar in shape to the Great Pyramid as a way to project your consciousness. And I should say that I've also had that experience here in Sedona, that by being here, and I live on a hill also, so I am on a spot that is like angled up which supports that projection of consciousness. So I've had the experience here in Sedona multiple times, and this was like not planned. This was not intentional really on my part. This was through a process of shamanic meditation and just doing that for the healing process and allowing myself to access whatever information would be helpful for my soul and help me, you know, integrate my wholeness, you know, come back into wholeness. I was doing these meditations and multiple times I had this experience of kind of astral projection. And one time I found myself in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid in a meditation and projected out of the King's Chamber to another planet. That was wild. Another time I found myself entering this certain chamber and then boom, I was being projected through a wormhole. Like it was like, what's that movie with Jodie Foster, Contact? Do you remember that scene where towards the end, where she's in the machine and all of a sudden her consciousness has been projected through this wormhole and she's just like, you know, spinning through space. It was like that. It was just like that. It was wild. And I'm flying through this wormhole and then boom, I'm on a ship all of a sudden. And I got to talk to Star Family and have a visit, which was really cool. So I've had these experiences that are exactly like what Bashar talks about. And I think I'm partially doing this episode today. Like, I think, you know, I've had this connection with Bashar this whole time. And I'm partially helping to validate, you know, some of what he's, you know, sharing. So anyway, you know, there are these just incredible ways we can work with the vortex energy. And this is not the only vortex on the planet that will allow us to have an easier multidimensional experience. So anyway, if you have not checked out this event, there was live streaming, so you can buy the recording afterwards. I'm not an affiliate or anything. I'm just sharing because I think it was an awesome event and you might like it if you haven't seen it yet. And Bashar, you know, goes into so much about like what's to come too. You know, we had heard over the last few years that we were entering this window of open contact, that starting in 2023 would be the window for open contact. And it seems like that's starting to play out on the planet, you know, like Bashar talked about this over the last decade. And he seemed to allude to the idea that we're on a trajectory for that to really occur, like in the next several years, he said, which is exciting, like to think about that, you know, like, and not just this idea of like in our lifetime, maybe, but like in the next several years. Wow. He also said, when that occurs, you know, that would be this opening for our true history to be revealed. Like, do you guys think people are ready for that? There's a part of me that Sinead and I were just talking about this the other day. For those of you who were following last year, you remember Sinead. She was our season one co-host. She's doing awesome. She just went to an awesome UFO conference this summer and is like really staying in tune with that. So I'm getting like my UFO updates from her. And yeah, last year we talked about this, and just recently we talked about this idea of, are people ready? You know, it could go either way, you know, like, or, you know, no wonder. I think there's been some, you know, some malevolent approaches to keeping humans in the dark. And because of just the fact that we've been in our Kali Yuga, our dark ages on Earth, an era of darkness, because of where human consciousness has been, because of the fear, because of the negativity, all that stuff, because of the corporate interests and the greed that exists on our planet, there are a lot of reasons why the truth has not been revealed. And it's a complex situation. Like, I can acknowledge that too. The idea that, you know, maybe there needed to be a little delay for a bit so that we could have an influx of souls come onto the planet who might be able to help in this moment, so that we could allow some of the malevolent, negative ways of operating on the planet start to shift. You know, I can see a lot of reasons for why there would have been a little delay in this disclosure effort. And given the distortion that has occurred around our Earth history, our religions, it's going to challenge a lot of people, you know? And so, yeah, I'm highly curious about how this is going to go. And I think for all of us here, you know, it's just such a good reminder to be kind, to be empathetic, to recognize that we have a lot of souls on this planet, you know, who have been caught in that negative programming, who are still living in a fear-based reality. And we've got to be kind to them. You know, this is not about imposing our viewpoints on everyone else. This is not about being like, aha, we were right. You know, it's not about any of that. Like, it's about just helping everyone through it, ultimately, right? Like, anytime we fall into the separation game, right? Like the us versus them, you know, we're treading on dangerous ground. Like, that's where we lose our ability to spiritually evolve. So, you know, we've actually got a really big spiritual challenge on the planet right now to be able to be people who are continually opening ourselves to the next level of what's possible, to be moving from masters of limitation to masters of manifestation, and gently bringing others along in that and not judging them for where they're at. You know, like, that's the tricky balancing part. That's the tricky balancing act we're in here on Earth. And that's what requires, you know, deep spiritual practice to be able to hold that compassion and that empathy as we're moving through this process. And to, you know, maybe hold opinions, but not from a place of judgment, you know, to be able to just witness what's going on, to be able to recognize the complexity of it. And to, well, this talk, you know, this is what Bashar talks about: acknowledge, appreciate, allow. Like, we can acknowledge what's happening. We can appreciate that we're here to be part of the transition and to help. And we can just allow it to unfold, right? Like, we don't have to judge it. We don't have to fight. We don't have to be in a state of separation as we go through this. So anyway, those are the things I reflect on, you know, as I think about this idea of open contact happening, like, soon. And it kind of already is, but the big open contact, you know, where we, like, really become a galactic civilization. Like, wow, here we go. So we had a fun weekend with Bashar. And, you know, as I woke up today, I thought, okay, what would be following my highest excitement and my passion with no insistence on the outcome? You know, I've done that this whole time for the most part. Like, I've had moments of resistance and insisting on the outcome. And then I have released that and relaxed into, I'm just doing this. Like, I'm just doing this with no insistence on the outcome, and talking about what feels fun and what feels helpful, and getting to know you guys in the process. And so it was fun to be able to share about the Bashar story today for those who didn't know that part of my background, and to be recognizing how this is, like, kind of coming full circle with me being in Sedona and being able to share about my true experience of what Bashar is talking about. It's pretty cool. So anyway, I hope you're excited about what's to come. And I'm just, yeah, like, I don't even know. I don't have words for it right now. I'm excited. I'm nervous, not in like a negative way, but just like kind of that, those like excitement jitters that you get, you know, like before a big event, you know, before a grand reveal. And so that's kind of what it feels like. It's like, wow, like what a time to be alive on earth, you know, like we came for the show, folks. Like we have got a show on earth. And I think it's cool to also remember that we've got these, you know, support systems. Like we've got a lot of beings out there who are cheering us on, who want us to make this transition successfully, who want us to reconcile, you know, the negative limiting aspects of ourselves on earth so that we can rise higher and meet them ultimately. So I hope you're following your highest passion and following the formula. If you don't know what the formula is, go on the Bashar website. There's lots of good information that you don't have to pay for that will help you start to follow the formula. And check out the event in Sedona. It was super cool. And we got to hear about how close Bashar's ship is now. It's like real close. I went to go visit yesterday. I drove down to Bell Rock and said hello and saw a really interesting cloud formation, like right above Bell Rock. So I was like, are you guys showing up a little bit? Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Thank you for tuning in today. Leave a comment. Have you had any experiences with Bashar? Have you had ET contact? Like, where are you at in this journey? I want to know. I'm super curious. And I'll see you next time in our next episode. Bye for now.